All right, welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars fall 27-13 to the Houston Texans yesterday. Good morning, Johnny O. How are you today?
Is it a good morning, Mike? Talk that first.
I'm
that?
Up and breathing, right. And right. The whole day beckons, and so from that standpoint, yes.
It is. Yes, it is.
In terms of Jaguar football, is it a good morning?
It's tough morning. Yeah,
I would say no. You know, anytime you lose, it's not a good Monday.
No.
And when you do nothing,
we'll always
in the
have
half.
Last week. Mike.
we'll always have the first half of yesterday.
That's right.
Very, very Casablanca-esque yesterday in the first half. 13-10 at the half, and then they had the ball for 9 minutes in the second half. And what did they put up, like 73 yards? Was it something like that? It was in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, I thought you were at first when you said that. I thought you were referencing the Texans' first drive, and when that was going on, well, I mean. I'm sorry, not the first drive. The first drive of the third quarter.
The 17-play drive.
And, yeah. When that was going on, you remember the I forgot who they beat last week. The Giants had a very similar – it's been a long time since last week, hadn't I? But the Giants had a similar drive, and you felt – whenever a team has a drive like that, you feel like it's going to be a game-defining drive. Well, as it turned out against the Giants, it wasn't a game-defining drive because the Jaguars found a way to come back, but certainly – yesterday, that drive that the Texans put together turned out to be a game-defining drive, especially when you get the interception right on top of it. And it just shows you how quickly, with this team, with the margin for error that it has, how quickly a game can change and get away from them. And once this team gets down 10 points, it's what made last week so unusual. It just doesn't have the offense right now to get back in it, and that's a problem.
You said the right phrase, margin for error.
Yeah.
They don't have one, John. No. They have probably a negative margin for error. They need more things to go right in those kind of coin flip columns, turnovers, and things like that. And when they do, then they can win. And it's with a lot of teams, that is almost the guarantee of victory when certain statistics go in your fashion. But the offense, two offensive touchdowns now in the last 3 weeks. That's clearly, we understand winning masks some of the errors, and we talk about, you don't have to dwell on that for a week, but it doesn't change the underlying issue that this team has struggled to score. Last week, they got the two defensive touchdowns. Even if they don't get the touchdowns, if the defense creates some turnovers yesterday, maybe that's enough to put them in position to get something going.
Well, we had said for a couple of weeks, it was a constant theme on Jaguars.com, and when we spoke, was it fair or realistic to ask the defense to have 9 sacks and 8 forced fumbles and 6 turnovers. I mean, that's a tough pull for a defense to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. I didn't think the defense played bad in the first half yesterday. They didn't get that turnaround play. Played okay. I mean,
that's an NFL first half. It's 13-10. Both teams made a few plays.
Right.
Both teams gave up a few plays. That's the NFL.
And you had one drive that was not a good, they couldn't get a team off the field in third quarter. You would like, again, that not to be a game-ending event. And yesterday, it turned out to be sort of a game-ending event when they got that drive and then the quick turnover, boom. It just felt like the game was over at that point. And that's where it's got to get, that's where the offense has to get better and catch up. I don't know what's going to happen this season with this bunch, with as young as this bunch is. I don't know if you're going to see a rapid development in the next 3 weeks, but it's got to happen for this franchise.
It does, and it's going to have to be with a lot of the guys that we're seeing play right now.
Yeah.
As part of the core. You wonder, as you watch Cecil Shorts really not make an impact yesterday, have a negative impact, if anything, with the drops, is he part of the future of this franchise?
I'd be a little surprised at this point, and I hate saying that because – I love covering the guy, and I think
he's a pro.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you want in a guy to be around, he's outstanding. And I sort of think that if he does go somewhere else, that there could be a situation where he excels. I just I think with the young guys at that position right now, it just wouldn't surprise you if it goes the other direction. And I hate saying that, but.
I agree with you, but at the same time, you can look at Cecil Shorts and say maybe he's going to be best served in a complimentary role somewhere, and he may thrive in that role as somebody's number two or three, you know, on a much more established team with a better offensive line and a better quarterback. You see what Emmanuel Sanders did, who was a nice player in Pittsburgh and went to a Pro Bowl caliber player in Denver because of the circumstances around it. But
again, I don't know that for sure.
No, right. We're just talking here, our thoughts on it. But
with 3 weeks in the season, with the youth at that position, with with Marquise Lee, I think starting to show that you talk about a guy who you look at now, who you can envision. We talk about that jump from year one to year two that guys make. You can really see him possibly doing it because the light's starting to come on, and when he really starts getting comfortable and getting really quick in his mind in this offense, he's showing why they drafted him where he did.
Yeah, so, a couple of quick things, just to wrap up my thought on Cecil.
Yeah, I didn't mean
just
to get away from that.
No, it's okay. With the, you know, in that situation, he may flourish. Excuse me. It doesn't change the fact that when the ball hits you in the chest, there's nothing about the situation that you got to catch that football in the pros, you know, on that, you know, that slant, you've got a chance to run away from your defender.
It was interesting. And I have to go back and look at it. Our camera guy actually had a good angle on that play. And he said it looked to him like the ball almost did a knuckle on Cecil. Not that he shouldn't have caught it, but I said the same thing last night. I said, man, you got to catch that ball. And Patrick Kavanaugh, our camera guy, had a good angle on it. He goes, it looked like it came in weird, like a knuckleball. You know, Patrick used to play baseball. He said it looked like it was curving. Again, you got to catch it, but I will be anxious to see if I can see an angle where that happened because it was a weird ball to drop in that situation.
I thought you were mentioning Marquise Lee. I thought he had a moment or two where, again, he flashed. I thought that catch over the defensive back was exceptional yesterday. But that's what they've got right now. They've got moments, right? Instead of sustained, not even drives per se. I mean, the one drive they had, touchdown drive, hey, you took over at the 50-yard line. Mm-hmm. Great that you were able to punch that one in, and that's fine. You got to do more of that, obviously, and it hasn't been getting
done. Well, and then plays like, you know, the pass that Clay Harbor dropped in the first half.
Got to
have it. And that winds up in a field goal. I don't know that he would have scored on that play. I haven't seen the replay. It certainly gets him in better position. They wound up getting a first down, so you didn't worry about that drop as much. But that's sort of the play that they're not getting. Oh, that was a great play by Bortles on that play.
It was
great. Gets away from the rush and makes a good throw, makes an NFL-type throw, sees the guy downfield. So, again, you're seeing flashes, but, you know,
that's a momentum-type situation, though.
Yeah, really
if he catches that, I think the whole team's like, oh, when you get a big chunk like that, bam, we're right down the field, and you feel like you're going to run up there, and the other team just kind of took a gut punch, and maybe you're able to punch that one in.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's what I thought Bortles in the first half yesterday, and everybody watching it felt this, that he was sort of back to being, you know, free, loose.
Absolutely.
It looked like last couple of weeks – I had mentioned last week that it looked like he was working hard to play free, like he was trying to get back to what he'd been doing before, trying harder to avoid the rush. And he sort of did that in the first half. So, again, I thought that was a good sign to take. And I think right now it's just tough for this team to sustain the offense throughout the whole course of the game. And I just think a lot of that's youth. I think once they're out there and the other team adjusts to it, it's tough for them to make that second adjustment because they don't have guys that they absolutely can rely on that they know what they're doing yet.
We'll hear some post-game thoughts from the head coach, Gus Bradley, on this, and hopefully hear from some Jaguar fans today. Are you mystified? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you taking the big picture view and trying to be patient with the youth that's trying to develop on this football team? Whatever your point of view, you can share it with us at 641-1010. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today asks you which one of three ways do you look at this team. Is the 2014 version of your Jacksonville Jaguars, this year's team right now at this moment, better, the same, or worse than it was at a comparable point last year? Let's say going into the final three games of the season exactly 1 year ago. Is this Jaguar team better? Is it the same? Or is it actually worse than it was in 2013 when you thought the franchise may have bottomed out? Keeping in mind, at that point in time, you're coming off right now you had just won the fourth game in 5 weeks that the Jags were going to win. They ended up losing their final three games of the season. So record-wise, certainly they're not as good, but that's not always the indicator that you're looking for to judge whether a team is, quote, better or worse than it was at a certain point in the past. So you can share your thoughts on that, both on the phone lines at 641-1010 and tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at 1010XL, Fat Tony, of course, at 1010XL, Lauren. Don't leave her out either. Just getting rolling today, we'll talk heavily about the Jags' performance or lack thereof, certainly in the second half, against Houston and what they can do down the stretch here. Are they, in fact, better, worse, or the same as what they were last year? Weigh in with your thoughts on that. Jaguars today, just getting rolling. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I almost could have predicted this would have been the song. Not that I'm disappointed. I'm happy about that from Lauren Brooks.
This is a birthday celebration?
No, this is better, the same, or worse. That's what we're doing today.
I know.
We're talking about birthday celebration.
Well, it was
happy
your birthday
Terrell
yesterday.
T.O.'s birthday was yesterday. Larry Bird's birthday was yesterday. And Johnny Bench's birthday was
Why
yesterday.
Do you know all these birthdays from yesterday, Mike?
I'm a historian. An historian? A historian? I don't know. I study history.
That's right.
Sports history. That's what I do.
Big fan of World War II history and how we got into that whole contest.
Was it yesterday? Was it on Sunday Night Football that they had some Pearl Harbor survivors aged between 90
they had them here.
And 102?
We had three at the stadium yesterday.
How old were they? They must have been.
I couldn't hear it from up in the booth, but I know they had them down in the field.
Obviously, you know, I'm in the dungeon during the game, so I miss all the, you know, the military celebration that went on yesterday and all that stuff. So was not aware of that, but that's pretty cool. I guess they probably did that, I'm assuming, at NFL stadiums across the country. Then is probably what they did, because the NFL likes to drape itself in the American flag and pretend it's as American as it's an institution of the government, in fact, at times. Or it really does. It has done a wonderful marketing job tying itself to the U.S. military, don't you think?
No, it has.
I mean, with the flyovers and all this. Nothing wrong with honoring the troops. I'm all for that. But you would think that at times the NFL is a branch of the military with the shield, right? They're like, where do they go? Do they go in there? Are they even with the Coast Guard, or are they a step ahead? Because most people go, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, in whatever order you like.
Sure.
And then people also throw in Coast Guard and National Guard, which is totally unfair to those people who work hard to defend our shores.
Well, they do. It was cool yesterday. I know you were stuck down here in the dungeon, but it was pretty cool yesterday watching all the different tributes that they did. And I know they always honor a veteran of the game here in Jacksonville. They always have one. Yesterday, I think they had four or five different times that they did that, and they definitely had the three gentlemen down on the field that had survived the attack on Pearl Harbor that were here in Jacksonville for whatever reason. So, I mean, it was really cool to see that kind of stuff. The Military Appreciation Day is always a pretty cool weekend here in Jacksonville, and that it happened to fall on December 7th this particular year, with that being, you know, the date that Pearl Harbor was bombed and really was the main impetus to get us on the ground in Europe and in the Pacific in World War II. I mean, it was a neat day down at the stadium yesterday. The weather did not cooperate.
No.
At all.
The outcome of the game
day.
Did not cooperate.
No.
But a lot of other good stuff going on. By the way, brother, come on. Patrick Kavanaugh is the executive producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's not just the camera guy.
Hashtag supporting cast.
He is taking to Twitter.
Senior writers putting everyone in their place.
Express his umbrage with you right now.
Got a little pecking order around here, Mike.
Oh, come on. At PCAP3, give him a follow on Twitter, by the way. He's got 1,834. I'd like to see that over 2,000 by the end of the week.
He gets over 2,000, we'll start calling him by his real title.
Is that right? Executive producer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, producing video for Jaguars.com and Jaguars Television. So says his Twitter feed.
Ooh.
So that's what I'm going with right there. And we looked at the so-called knuckleball slider curveball mix. I don't think there's it looked like a pass that went from Blake's hands to Cecil's chest.
Yeah, you got to catch
it. That he has to catch.
Yeah, it
got to catch it.
Yeah.
As Tony said, you know, that's when he tried to kind of body catch that, you know,
right. Which may have been because it was coming in some spin. You know, who knows? But that's, you know.
It was both drops for yesterday, Cecil, was kind of the same thing. He came out of the break the first time when the ball was on him. He had a chance to make that play, but look.
Got to catch it. I mean,
the technical.
He'd tell you
the little technical details of the game, and it's just where his hands were on those two plays. And he's been around too long to make those kind of mistakes. It's not a pass you catch like that. I knew that when I was running around in the yard. You don't catch that pass like that. And I know it gets on him fast, but, man, I bet he was just all kinds of mad at himself.
Yeah. Tony Smith coming in for a workout on Tuesday, by the way.
No.
Yeah, he's a good backyard pass catcher.
I saw what happened to Andre. I saw what happened to Clay. Yeah. I want no part of what's happening on that field.
I don't either, man.
I don't move quick enough to get out of anybody's
way. Oh, my goodness. I would be destroyed. I would be in such pain. Andre Johnson got ear-holed, basically. Scary.
And it was one of those that it's sort of how the league is right now. I don't know what either player should have done differently on the play. I don't really know what Telvin should have done differently on the play. But as he said after the game, you're going to get in right now in the league, you're going to get penalized for that hit.
Absolutely. You're really responsible if you hit him with the helmet. And right. I understand what you're saying. I guess, you know, they're trying to say safety over performance,
yep.
even, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I understand their position because they're being sued into this position. Right? I mean, that to me is what it's all about.
Well, they're being sued in position, and it is, you know, nobody's going to come in here and say that it's a bad thing to try to reduce helmet hits. It's just sort of the nature. I mean, it as soon as that hit happened, my Twitter feed blew up. Terrible call, terrible call, terrible call. It's not really a terrible call within the dynamics of the rules right now.
No.
It's a almost impossible situation, and Telvin said it best after the game. I saw the quote. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I think O'Halloran talked to him, and he said, you're going to get penalized for that hit. And when you watch it, I just don't know what he could have done differently, but you're going to get penalized for it.
But did you watch Sunday Night Football last night?
I was working.
There were two instances. I was not. I was that is work to me because I feel like we need to know the league, John.
That's fine. Go with that.
But who was the San Diego?
It was
receiver that got lit up.
It was Ladarius Green got lit up by Browner,
and he put his shoulder right about into his sternum.
Yeah,
right, and his head went to the side. The helmet didn't hit, as far as I can tell. The helmet went to the side, but it was such a violent shot that his head snapped back, landed on the ground. The ball pops up. The Patriots intercept it. Run it back for a touchdown. It's coming back because it was a targeting penalty.
Well, if you read the rule too, and I saw someone tweet this out last night with the rule change. Basically, the officials have been told if you're watching a play and you have any doubt about whether the hit was legal or not, you throw the flag.
The air on the side of caution.
Right. You throw the personal foul. Like when you watch that Browner hit in the replay. Look, he did everything that they're telling all these guys to do. He came in with the shoulder instead of his helmet. He hit him in the chest and shoulder area, not in the head. It was just such a violent hit that the official thought he saw something he didn't see, so he threw the flag. And for a league that's facing some of the things that they're facing, I don't blame them entirely for it. I know there's a lot of fans that are saying you're taking the physicality out of the game. To some degree, they are. The guys on defense have to play differently than they did.
No doubt.
You know, and I don't blame Telvin for making the play. He did in that game yesterday either because I don't know what he could have done differently except let Andre Johnson score. And he's not going to let that happen in that circumstance. You make the play, you take the flag, and you go on.
In the instance you're talking about, I didn't see the Browner play. You hope in that instance that the player doesn't get fined. Because
he shouldn't.
I don't know.
He really shouldn't. In my opinion, shouldn't have been a penalty. If you were to review that, you would say that's not a penalty.
You would hope there would be some sort of, trigger to have intent, at least part of it, at the fine level, so you're not costing a guy, like Telvin Smith, who's a fairly low paid guy in NFL terms. That kind of money when it's not an intention.
That's a completely different story, by the way. I mean, those fines should be a percentage of what you make as opposed to a flat fee because for Telvin Smith to get fined, what some of these guys get fined is a much higher percentage of what he's taking home. Now, in the same game, and I understand what they're trying to do, and I don't think Ladarius Green was defenseless because he had bobbled it a couple times, and he can see Browner coming right at him.
Yeah, he looked at him.
He looked at him, and he was kind of just juggling the ball, so he went in there to pop it loose, and it popped up. Tony, you see the play Melvin Ingram when he rushed Sebastian Vollmer? He's coming off the edge as an outside linebacker. Vollmer's playing tackle. He hits him with his helmet right in the chin, basically. Yep. I mean, he just basically put his head down and drove his helmet right into the offensive lineman. Basically knocked him out. I mean, he fell down like he was knocked out on his feet. And they were praising him like crazy. Oh, my goodness, look how great a play this is by Melvin Ingram, who just comes in there like a battering ram and basically knocks out Sebastian Vollmer. So I can't figure it out, I guess, because he's deemed to not be vulnerable or a defenseless player at that point in time.
I guess they're saying he could get his hands on the shoulder pads and prevent
right,
the hit.
But still, I mean, he just wasn't quick enough, and he put that helmet right to his chin, and it was lights out. It was, I mean, so you've got that, to me, which was a much worse play, but that was praised, and it was completely legal. There was never any hint that the flag would come down. And then you've got the other play that's going the other way. It's becoming a difficult game to referee these days,
yeah,
I think.
And to play. I mean, you know, when defensive players sort of complain about, you know, the line moving, so to speak, and the rules sort of changing under their feet, I think the league's doing whatever it can to not have that be the case and try to be as clear as possible, but you can see why defensive players feel that way.
All right, 641-1010, the phone number. Better, the same, or worse? That's what we're asking about your Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll go around the table here and talk about that amongst ourselves here in a moment as well. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get on board, that's the way to do it. 641-1010. If you want to talk specifically about yesterday's game, you're certainly welcome to do that as well, or really anything going on in the National Football League. Let's start with Dave this morning on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. What's going on?
Look here. As far as the defense, I think the defensive line is better. As far as defensive backs, it's a question mark. As far as the offense, our offensive line sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, J.J. Watts is bad to the bone, but you know, if it's not Sam Young this week, all the other weeks, it's been Luke Jokel. I think we've lost out on a draft choice on Luke Jokel. I think we went the wrong way with him. I think we have good running backs, Tony Gearhart and Denard Robinson. The only problem is you've got to have holes that you can run up. I mean, you've got to open the holes for the running backs, and the quarterback don't have no time to throw the ball. As far as all offense is an F, and I'll probably give a B minus to the defense.
So overall, top to bottom, the entire team, better, worse, or the same compared to this point last year?
If I do say anything, it'd be just a little bit better than last year.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the call.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, you said, and I don't want to, you tell me. I mean, you seem very definitive. I asked you before the show, I said better, same, or worse, and you said,
well,
definitely better.
I would say they're better because, again, if you think back to last year, there were, when they played teams that were in it and that were still fighting for something, there were very few instances where you came even out of the first half saying, yeah, they had a chance. This year, more often than not after games, we're talking about what went wrong and what could have been different to decide the outcome. In the first half yesterday, close, and then you have one drive and a turnover. You can point to one key point that sort of turned the game around. So in that sense, I certainly think their bottom line is better. It's not going to show in the win total, it doesn't look like, but there's more of a foundation. You can see them doing things a little better than they were this time last year.
I think the potential is there for them to be better, but the raw data to me indicates it's a push. I look at, and I know, understand statistics aren't the end all be all, but this year they've scored 199 points, and I'm throwing out, did the defense score?
Right.
The Jaguars have scored 199 points. Last year they scored 201. It's identical, right? 2 points, whatever the difference is. This year they've allowed 356s through 13 games at the same point last year, 372. So basically two fewer touchdowns over the span of 13 games. Statistically, I don't think that's significant,
right,
but a little bit better. I call it a wash across the board in terms of average margin of victory.
I think we both agree on defense. since the first month of this season.
The pass rush is certainly better.
The point stat is certainly skewed by weeks 2 and 3, 40 against Washington, 40 against the Colts. Since that point, the defense has been better than it was
last
year.
Can you make that case, though? The overall number is going to be skewed by the first 8 games last year, right? I mean, the first half of the season, because they were losing every game by double digits.
That's the only thing you do. You do numbers what you want. I can't argue that the defense was better last year than it is this year.
I would agree.
To me, there's no question it's better.
I'm talking about, though, the total body work, because the results on the field are points allowed, very similar. They've lost 9 now by double figures. They lost 10 all of last year. So, you know, you're in that same ballpark. And I would agree. It cosmetically, it certainly, and probably realistically, they do look to be more competitive, more weeks than they did last year. So if you want to use that as an indicator, certainly better. But I think it's very close.
No, I mean, and I can't sit here and argue vehemently that it's not a push. But I think the potential part that you mentioned is significant. This offense, whatever it was doing late last year, was going to be dramatically different. So there was going to be nothing to build off of what happened late last year. You know, this year there's no question most of this offense is going to be the same and counting on improvement. So at least you're getting experience to build toward next year.
That rings very false
on a Monday when you're 2-11.
And because, you know, we've had some of the feedback have been, hey, all we care about is wins and losses.
Yep.
You know, other people.
Which is fair.
It's funny. One tweet, I mean, literally back-to-back tweets, I got one that said, fans, all we care about is wins and losses, so we're worse than we were last year. The very next guy, who I assume is a fan, said, we're absolutely better than we were last year. So I don't think there's one clear-cut answer. That's why we're trying to gauge your opinion today.
And I think, look, when you're looking at the points scored against points against those two statistics, I understand you're not talking about, well, we didn't want to talk about how many points the defense has scored for the offense, that kind of thing. But I think those are about even this year compared to last year. I mean, I know the Tennessee game last year, it was the defense scoring that won them their first game. I think those things are about even between 2013 and 2014. I don't remember 4 or 5 pick sixes last year. I mean, I do think the defense is significantly better than those numbers even indicate this season for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because there have been times where the offense is just giving away, handing away points for this team.
And that may be fine. And,
that goes against the offense, too.
Right. The offense may be worse.
Right.
And which, that's what I'm talking about. The whole sum total of the whole thing, I would grant you, certainly the pass rush is light years improved from what it was last year. But offensively,
You can go back to that stretch. They gave up 17 against Pittsburgh. One of those was a pick six. 16 points against Tennessee. That's a good defensive ball game. 6 against Cleveland. 27 against Miami with 2 pick sixes. I mean, that is a
great
stretch.
Four
they were never
stretch.
Close to that last
I can
year.
Also give you a good 4-week stretch where the Jags had a running game this year. Okay, so and the rest of the time, it wasn't so good. We got to take a timeout. We'll continue this discussion. Better, the same, or worse as far as the Jags compared to this point last year. 6-4-1, 10-10. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, what do we got here? My Warren Brooks. Metallica, Better Than You. John's bobbing his head over there.
I knew this one.
Headbanging over there a little bit. Now I know.
Who, me?
Yes.
Not a Metallica guy.
Not a Metallica guy. You just ruined the illusion I had created of you as a rocker.
I missed that era. I'm too old.
Yeah, I didn't miss that era, but I'm not a Metallica guy either. Tony's tapping his thumb.
Oh, I love Metallica.
Big Metallica fan.
It's one of my 10 favorite bands of all time.
Really?
Really.
They would not be one of my 100 favorite bands of all time, but that's all right. It's America, Tony.
I know.
God bless us for having difference of opinion on this. got this one in from Paul at Paul the Biz. They're better this year's version, and it's not close. The 2013 team was a 0-1 win caliber team that got a few lucky bounces. Then I would ask you, what is this team? Are they a 2-win caliber team? Because that's where they're tracking right now. What are they? If you're saying they are a 0-1 win caliber team, got a few lucky bounces, is this year a 4-5 win caliber team who's gotten unlucky? I don't feel like the Jags have had, a lack of luck this year. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't feel like they were snake bit. I mean, you can look at the Tennessee game. They get the field goal blocked. Don't guarantee it's going to go in.
That's 55 yards.
It's a long, right? It's a long field goal, and I mean that's so.
And that was a game that I don't think after that game anybody was walking around saying, "Boy, that was one that they absolutely should have positively won." It would have been a good win, but it wasn't one where you felt like they dominated the whole game.
Correct.
So,
correct. All right, let's go to the phone, see what the peeps think. 641-1010. Thanks for holding on. Yousef, you are up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
What's going on, you?
Hi. Right. What's up, Yousef?
Hey, man. I yesterday, the 4th and 1, they did not review it. I guarantee you if they did, Blake made that. All right? That's 1 point. They just let it fly by. They didn't care about it. Okay, they had a 4th and inches. They decided to kick the field goal. You know, with the heart. So that kind of put me at the edge. Okay, my third issue. We were driving down the field. Yes, we got seconds on the board before halftime. Let's try to get every possible point that we can in any possible situation. Points. All that regrouping and going back into the huddle, let's get it now. You had a week to regroup and a week to think about it, and so that's where I'm coming at. And on top of that, let's give these rookies some slack. You already realize that they're the youngest team in the NFL. You already know that they're rebuilding, and yes, they're way better than last year. We got a quarterback; he's learning. He got some attributes. We got a running back. We got the defense is just winning and beating the offense over and over again. I mean, good teams that they're shutting them down. You know, and it's plenty of times this year we had chances to win. You know, fumbled with Ace Sanders. You know, a lot of those things that happen, and I feel like we're way better than, and we had a lot more opportunities to win this year than last year.
All right, thank you, Yousef. I mean, to me, there's a difference between potentially better and better. At this moment, I mean, look, if Blake Bortles could turn out to be top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and then you're way better, and then we're not even having these kind of conversations, but it's not where they are right now. I'm not saying, I understand.
There's a legitimate reason to feel like they're in better shape going forward, but I get your point that on the field, results wise, you know, that's the old argument. If your wins aren't more, then you're not better. And I understand that school of thought.
And
I would say they're
strictly on the win total.
Right.
Either. Just, you know, a combination of factors, but I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I mean, I said all along during the offseason that I thought they could be better, not have the same record, or not have a significantly better record.
Sure.
And it was because the season last year they were 4-12, but you felt like they were much closer if you looked at how they won those games. Like they were much closer to being 1-15 than they were to being 10-6. If you follow, I mean, they were much closer to losing those games that they won, and there weren't a whole lot of games where you looked at and went, oh man, they were a whisker away from. They won just about every time they had a snowball's chance, right?
Okay.
Last year, so I thought they could improve and be more competitive against better teams, which is the gauge that you want. It's not have a better record, and that's sort of how it's played out. That doesn't satisfy anybody, but I think they're better, and I think they're moving in the right direction. But it's hard to prove that, and that's your point.
Well, I guess I would look at it this year and say, okay, do you say that they should have won any of the games that they lost by double figures? Even going back to the Philly game, if you outscore them 17-0 in the first half, that's great. But what did they give up, 33 in the second half in that game?
They should win that game.
34?
I mean, that if you're a team.
I understand that, Tony, but they're also a team that was capable of giving up 34 points and a half at the same time, and they did, and the offense did nothing. So the end result is they lost by 17 points. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I wouldn't say there were games they should have, but I will say there have been a lot more games where they had significant stretches where they looked good. And as opposed to last year, there weren't very many games where there were significant stretches where you said, boy, they look pretty good.
Well, I think the point you're making
is a little something to build on. But again, we're sitting here on a Monday where we're talking about 2-11. So it's not enough yet.
And I think the point you're making is that last year in a game like that against Philadelphia, they won because that was a game they had a chance to win in. And right. the game this year against Pittsburgh, that's a game that last year they won because they had any chance to right. be in it. Against Miami, that's a game they won because they were in that ball game. And this year, those are games that they've let slip away. If you want to hold that against them, you can. I think it is fair.
I think you were just looking at it. I'm not trying right. to make the argument and then find the evidence to support it. I'm just, let's look at all the evidence, and there are different ways you can look at this.
Sure.
And in the end, it doesn't really matter. The record's going to be what the record is. I look at Philly. Philly's not a team that they should beat. So maybe you look at that first half and say, wow, you know, we've seen at times they're capable of playing over their heads maybe a little bit, right? And
well, you say that, but the defense played extraordinarily well against Philadelphia.
Yes, they did for a half.
But,
and they played extraordinarily poorly. They gave up 34 points right. in the second half.
Right. Well,
one half of football.
But yeah.
Right. With the,
but,
with the one.
Yes. And I guess that's my point, is that there have been more stretches where the defense has played like that. Like we all
they've
talked,
had more halves like that this
right.
year. The first half this week was fine.
Right.
You know, the first half against Indy.
And that's what's so frustrating. If there was a theme in the Ozone inbox this week, it was, why can't we see four quarters?
And that,
what happens? And that's a legitimate,
a totally legitimate question.
I don't really have the answer to that. The only answer I have is
we need to learn how to win.
And people are tired of hearing me say, talk about youth. So here we go.
Let's go to Christian up next here on 1010XL. Hi, Christian. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
So from my perspective, I think the Jaguars are, I won't say a lot better, but I do believe that they're better this season. I think one thing that doesn't really get considered much at all is the upside. You know, you're looking at a very young team that has a lot of potential going forward. And, it appears to me that this season they're in a lot more games and they're competing with guys, with teams that are a lot better caliber than they were last year. I mean, if you look at them, they had to play the AFC North and the NFC East, I think. You're looking at, you know, the AFC North with, you know, what the worst record is, what, 7-5 or something along those lines. And you got in the East and the NFC East, you got the Cowboys and the Eagles who are doing pretty good this year. And, I remember looking at the Jaguars prior to, you know, looking at the schedule prior to coming into the season and thinking, man, they're going to have a tough time. And the other thing is when you have a young team, you expect them to play really good and then maybe not so good. And you may see that in one game. I think that's a sign that they are a little bit more competitive than they were last year. And so I expect good things from them going forward.
All right. Hey, Christian, appreciate it, man. I don't think it's an invalid opinion, obviously, to have. And if you want to say they're better because we feel the core base of talent to grow from, they're better situated, fine. I'm thinking more of just on the field when they line up.
Situated would be the word I use. I can't argue your point on this year. I would definitely say they're better situated. I like that word, situated.
Yeah, they're situated.
It's fun to say, Tony.
641-1010. Words that are fun to say. Let's go to Dave next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
I had just a quick observation and then a question for you. My observation is that it's getting to a point now where I'm getting really tired of rooting for a team that just isn't there by the third quarter. I see improvement on the defensive line, but I don't really see improvement anywhere else. And my question for you is now that technically our offseason has started, does that mean that Jacksonville's mathematically eliminated from the playoffs next year?
not technically, but and maybe not even realistically. Who knows? No, it does not. So, yeah. There you have it. It was a good one, though.